Hey, well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the call tonight. This is our weekly AMSOIL dealer training call, and it's Monday, December 16th, 2013. I'm your host, Michael Sparks, AMSOIL Regency Silver Direct Jobber currently, and I've been doing this call for about 2 years now, and we're really excited about what we have here accomplished so far, and we're really excited about what's to come in the future with AMSOIL and with our AMSOIL dealership and helping dealers grow their businesses however they choose to. If you've got the newsletter last night, you're calling in, you're wondering, what's tonight's call all about? There was no subject. And, well, sorry about that. I think you will all be in for a treat. We were working last minute to get our monthly direct jobber interview lined up, and with a surprise we have tonight, you are going to have a good show. I first met this direct jobber at one of the first AMSOIL universities, probably 2001 or 2002, and I've always enjoyed visiting with him, and he's always willing to share his secrets of success with dealers no matter who they are and who they sponsor. And that's really what I like about this wonderful guy. And when he enters a room, he's really kind of hard to miss, and I think he stands about 6'6" or maybe 6'7". I don't know, but let's welcome Ray Pesco, AMSOIL Regency Platinum Direct Jobber. Hi, Ray.
Hi, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to you. Well, I appreciate you getting on the call tonight. It's a real treat to get some of the veteran AMSOIL dealers I've able to get on the call and interview and just kind of get insights and secrets and help motivate some people that might be just getting started and think that the road is so difficult out there. Before we got started on recording, Ray and I were talking how much easier it is today than it was when you got started. Tell us a little bit, Ray, what got you started in AMSOIL and when you got started in AMSOIL?
Well, I was 27 years old, didn't know who I was going to be or what I was going to do. I got talked into trying an oil change for $50. I got 6 quarts and a filter, and I put it in an old Chevy van, and it worked great. So I went back to the guy who sold it to me and asked him how the business worked. And I said, well, that sounds okay. I'll try it. And I started talking to people, and I got 10 contractors on job sites to try it in their pickup truck. And mainly, I think they just bought it to shut me up because my truck would pick up about 2.5 miles a gallon, and I was excited. Well, by the time those 10 guys tried it, I had another 50 waiting on me. So I felt like I had a tiger by the tail, and I just had to figure out what to do with it. And I was afraid my other boss was going to find out what I was doing. I'm 27 years old, you know, you're scared to death to lose a job. I really didn't like the job, but I had to have a job. But I was looking. I felt like I had an entrepreneurial spirit. I wanted to do something. I wanted to make a name for myself, and I didn't know when and where or how I was going to do it. But you got to start, and that's what I hear most about the people in this business. How do I get started? Hey, man, just start. Do something. I don't care if it's wrong, but you got to start. So that was the beginning of my business, and 4 years into the AMSOIL business part-time, the construction industry back in the early 80s got real hard to do because interest rates went to like the 16, 17%. Nobody was building anything. So the industry dried up. I went and found another job at a marina. Started out as a dock boy and a part-time boat washer, and I learned a whole lot about boats. The whole time, I was still doing my AMSOIL business on the side. Well, I ended up getting the owner of a nice yacht to put AMSOIL in his boat with bypass filters. He was the vice commodore of the yacht club. He got me another 100 boats.
Wow.
Well, then I became the guru for the synthetic oil and the bypass filters all around Hampton Roads. And that was like, you know, wow, man, you go down and do a boat, it was like $900. You had two bypass jobs, and if they had a generator, you put a bypass on all three of them. And hell, you could make $300-$400 a day. Well, that led to a whole nother thing about learning in a whole nother industry. Now, you got to realize, when I started Anvil, I didn't know where an oil filter and an air filter went. But you can learn it. You can learn the marketing plan. You can do it if you have the desire. That's basically what it takes.
Yep. So you got started, what, back in the late 1970s then? Is that what you're saying?
1979.
Wow. And you didn't know where you wanted to go, what you wanted to do, and I guess Anvil just fell in your lap, and as they say, the rest is history, huh?
It was more like being a dumb Pollock in the right place at the right time, and it slapped me in the face and said, you need to do this.
It seems a little harder back then, wasn't it, Ray? Did you have to do anything different than you do now?
Yeah, you had to twist arms, blackmail, threaten them. In 1979, if you tried to sell Anvil to somebody, the big three car manufacturers said it was going to void your warranty. So we were dealing with education. Educate, educate, educate. Finally, Popular Science came out with an article about Ford had tested it, and it went, did great, and then one thing by one thing by one thing. But you still had to go get your customers one at a time.
Yeah.
And wait for a referral. And, you know, at that time, you had to be a free thinker. You had to be a maverick, because them everyday people who followed the book, they weren't deviating. So you really had to go after the people that would think outside the box. And there wasn't a whole lot of them. That's why Anvil went to network marketing, to multi-level marketing, because you teach the next level, they teach the next level, they teach the next level. And it was by word of mouth that this company got going. The products worked. You had to get the fear out of the people to try it.
Yeah, yeah. And we were saying before the call, you were saying that too, that, yeah, you know, back in the early days, sometimes you wondered if Anvil would even have made it. And I wonder if they would have without the dealer network that we have now.
Oh, Amway tried to bankrupt us. Pennzoil tried to bankrupt us with lawsuits. We survived all that. So, you know, I think there was a higher being looking out for the whole big picture of this company, because they sure spent a whole lot of money. And I mean, you know, I remember Al Amatuzio, the owner of Anvil, telling me they were spending $40,000 to $50,000 a month on lawyer fees just to keep afloat, just to keep going. And they won all the lawsuits, triple damages against Amway. And that kind of, you know, then people started leaving us alone. We were here to stay.
Excellent. All during that time of the 80s, maybe not a lot of people calling in tonight. They're probably so young they don't remember the 80s, but it was tough times, and people were losing jobs. Kind of a little bit like it is now. It's hard to find a job and whatnot and get out there. So you built your business up to part-time, just like most dealers do, while you worked somewhere else that you probably didn't like, which really motivated you to continue to build your Anvil business. Just talk a little bit about getting up to that direct jobber level and where you went from there and really how your business evolved. It sounds like you worked with a lot of hands-on, face-to-face customers in the beginning.
We used to do a lot of shows, Michael. I mean, we did the car show, the boat show, the tractor pulls. We went everywhere promoting Anvil, and you hope that you just got one person out of a show. And yeah, over time, the more people you hand, I remember it was disheartening the first few years, man. We'd hand out them G86 flyers and go around the show afterwards. They're all over the field, floating in the wind, stacked up in the trash cans. So you said, well, what did I do? Just waste my money. Nobody was reading them, or so we thought. But as time went by, you know, you just keep doing. You keep your nose to the grindstone. You keep pushing. Mark Schell told me a long time ago, this business isn't about what you do on the front end today, because you got to go plant a whole lot of trees in order to get a few of them to grow. And then you got to come back, and you got to nurture them, and you got to keep with them. And that's really the truth. You put a whole lot of energy in on the front so that down the road when the trees mature, you get a crop every year, and all you got to do is keep them watered. That's a good analogy, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
All I do now is I just keep planting trees. I'm not saying they're all going to grow into be 200-foot oak trees, but a few of them have. And the other part of this business that I've seen from the other successful dealers is they share. I've had people that took me under their wing that have never received a dollar remuneration whatsoever from me. But their ideas, their encouragement, their push helped me get this company going. And then in turn, I think what I did through my business for 35 years reflected on their business. And I don't mind mentioning their names. Bill and Donna Duran, man, they treat me like a child. Ora Mae Boardman helped me a lot. She's 80 years old plus. And in turn, I've tried to take their philosophy and pass it on through everybody that I run across. I can't worry about what I'm going to make tomorrow by helping somebody else. The main goal I got to worry about is helping somebody else. If they make it, I'll make it. I think Bill and Barbara Stansel told it best when Ora Mae told them, if you help enough other people get what you want, get what they want, you'll get what you want. And that's true in Ansel. So I help everybody. Hell, Jerry Reed and I used to joke all the time. He'd be doing a boat show in Richmond, and I'd have one in Virginia Beach. And invariably, somebody would show up at both boat shows trying to finagle a price down from the same dealer. And Jerry Reed would say, well, I got one of yours. He talked to you at the Virginia Beach boat show, but he signed up with me. next month, it would turn around and happen the same way. Some guy talked to Jerry, but he was from Portsmouth, where I lived. And he'd come back to me. So we joked about it all the time. It was just good, clean, fun competition building each other's business. I don't make anything from Jerry Reed. But the reason I helped Jerry Reed is because Shirley Green asked me to help him. And she did a lot of stuff for me and for every dealer in this business.
Well, that's the truth there. If it wasn't for Shirley Green, hard telling where we'd be. And that we're definitely thankful for all you guys that are pioneers, not just the top guys, but anybody that had to go out there, you know, run back in the day, you had to run to the warehouse to get products. Now you had to get a whole case shipped, even if you wanted a quart. And, you know, now you get one of everything if you wanted them shipped to your door.
Well, it wasn't hard back in the old days when it had like four products: two cycle oil, 1040 gear lube, and grease. Well, it wasn't too hard to make a decision about what you were going to sell.
That's true. That's true. You just hope it all worked in all situations, right?
Mr. Amatuzio told me a long time ago, he said, Ray, if we can't make it better than what's out there, we're not putting our name on it. We're not giving it to you to sell. So their first rule is it's got to be the best. And I mean, if anybody's ever been to Ansel or looked around or looked at how this company's run, they're as high as it gets in quality.
That's the truth. But you got to go see it, right, Ray? If you look in the glossy pictures, if you don't go up there yourself, I think you're doing yourself an injustice, right?
Well, what they say, almost everybody that goes to the school up there sooner or later becomes a direct jobber running his own company. And that's all it takes. Once you see what's behind you, it's just not some little tiny dealer organization with a guy with some oil in his garage and a laptop. Great day, man. This company is huge. It's worldwide. They have a profound impact. And it really starts with how well-trained the little dealers are here out on the street trying to make a dollar. And that's the beauty of it. If you can make a dollar, you can make $1 million.
That's true. That's true. You just got to repeat what you did to make that first dollar over and over, and then you got it made. So, hey, we were talking a couple of weeks ago when we were lining up this call. I think weather was still nice, and you were looking out your window, talking about your boats and your overview of the lake. And let's get some folks listening in, maybe some inspiration that if they stick with it just for a little while, and keep adding those dollars and those customers and accounts, the type of things that they can do. You were talking about how you were able to take your AMSOIL income and capitalize on some other things. You want to talk about that real quick?
Well, the AMSOIL business, I never worked AMSOIL, and still to this day, I made a decision that it was going to be part-time and for fun. I was going to get paid to play. So I had to figure that out. Now, I like boats. I know there's a lot of – I know Lynn Papps and them boys, they like them snowmobiles. That's pretty damn close to getting paid to play. So you can ride around on them. You can invest in your toys. You can advertise with them. When I say I'm going to give 4 hours a day, I mean I try to work efficient. I try to work smart, not hard. And that allows me to have fun with it because I'm not putting any pressure or any stress on me. And over the years, the income, like I said, I planted enough trees and the trees grew. The people grew. They got successful in their own businesses. And those in turn helped me become successful. And so now I get to live and play from my lake house. And I'm sitting in the office right up here right now. It's dark out. I can't see the lake, but I know it's there. And nobody's going to take it away from you. That's the beauty of this kind of business. Once you build it up, you don't have a quota. You can't get fired. You're the boss. I mean, if you treat other people right and you do things right, you're going to live a dream. And the only stress that you're going to put on you is self-imposed. To me, that the of the great 12 successes in your life, money is last. If you do the first 11 right, you're going to have all the money you need. And I don't think money buys happiness. Matter of fact, I've seen it buy a lot of misery in people.
Well, it's true. You got to get your goals besides money right before that. Otherwise, that money will make you miserable. Or your quest for money. I know people that their quest for money just drives them down, and they miss a lot of things in their family's life, and they don't get to go do things they wanted to do because they're busy making money. And you've got to enjoy that life. It's a short life. It really is. And I'm sure 35 years for yourself probably just flew by, right, Ray? You're having so much fun.
I'm more scared about how time fast is going now. Back when I was younger, yeah, I had more energy. I did more stuff. And now it's like, hey, man, I don't want to be rich and famous. I'd rather be wealthy and incognito. At least I've got time to enjoy the things that have been blessed on me. And I know every dealer that I talk to, the things that I wish for Christmas right now, money can't buy. They don't seem as important to me as my health and as my mental attitude and as how well my family and my friends are doing and the fact that I have no fear. I've got freedom of fear. These things are more valuable to me than any amount of money.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people don't think of this as a long. We keep coming back to the tree thing, and we all know that you get wheat in one season, but it doesn't take much for a wheat crop to get a freak storm or a hailstorm and just ruin the whole thing. But trees, you know, they seem to last like hundreds of years, generations actually. And speaking of that, you know, you plant a tree, you teach somebody, you educate them. And it just keeps going for not just your generation, but another one. And I think you've got your son involved with AMSOIL. You want to talk a little bit about him? And I think you gave a little story when we were talking about how he got started, and he's really doing well with it too.
He's my middle son, Justin, is an executive direct jobber. on his own. And he's now telling his little brother, don't you wait till you're as old as I am to get started. You need to go now. And his little brother's 20. So everybody starts at their own time. They, you know, timing is everything. When it's right for you, you'll start. And Justin went out while he was still in the Navy. He said, Dad, I can't get them to buy anything. He said, I said, how long you been trying? He said, 90 days, man. I'm talking everywhere, handing out literature, and nobody's buying nothing. And he was getting frustrated, and he said, it's too hard. I said, it's not hard, Justin. I said, you just need to get better. Don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. And so he went to AMSOIL University. I took him up there, and when he came back, within 3 months, he was a direct jobber. By the time the next year went around and he went back again, he was a premier direct jobber. But he needed to get T1 certified. He needed to go out there and knock his head on the brick walls and get the nose a few times. But really what that does for you is if you listen to what the people are asking you, you learn how to answer the questions. And now Justin tells me, he says, Dad, the faces change, but all the questions are the same. That's the only difference. He learned the answers to all the questions. And in the beginning, it was no, 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 because he didn't know the answers to the questions.
Yeah. And generationally, so now you've got some family members involved, and isn't that a good feeling that what you worked on hard and were able to accomplish in your lifetime just kind of keeps on going and going and going. And we hope the 100th anniversary of AMSOIL or the 150th anniversary of AMSOIL is, these names will still be floating around, huh?
Right. Justin has signed up my other son under him, which was fine with me. I signed my dad up years ago. That's a whole nother story about how I took him some snake oil for Christmas one year. Hey, that story sometime. Anyway, my dad turned around and signed up. He's a direct jobber. He signed up one of my other brothers. He became a direct jobber. So that's all part of my downline in another group. But we took our ZO number, and as our business grew up, the checks just don't stop because you stop. If you build up enough commercial, retail, PC business, catalog, customer business, it'll actually perpetuate itself. And by that, we just took the whole thing and put it in a trust with my direct jobber son as one of the executors, because I told him if you just leave it alone, it'll produce a check every month now. And you can't, that is really a tremendous burden when you've got income coming in. And everybody was talking about how the last 5 years under Obama was so bad with the recession and everything. And then we go to an AMSOIL convention in Las Vegas and they tell us we grew 92% over 4 years. Our business never had a recession. So I would say we're on the right train track.
And we're ahead of that trade. We're not sitting on the caboose. I think we're still in the front car, just leading the way. There's more good things to come, especially in like you were saying. I had the same problem when you were saying with the big three would void your warranty and all this. I remember when just a couple years ago Harley Davidson said they'll void your warranty. That was like 5 or 6 years ago before they came out with their own synthetic. Now I'm dealing with Polaris. One of my accounts says avoid your warranty on their Polaris if you don't use their, or I think it was Bombardier, one of those two. So well, no, it won't. I got confirmation we're going to set them up and get them going on some AMSOIL. That's been the same old question, like you say, the same question, just different faces. And you just got to learn what the answer is and how to come around and get the right answer for those people, and they'll come around, right?
Yes, sir. You got it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm pulling up another blast from the past for you here. I don't remember what convention we got this at, but it was called it's a little piece of or it's a sheet of paper that has a drawing on it. It says The Journey, and some of the same things we've been talking about here. Do you remember it, Ray?
The Road to Success.
The Road to Success, yes. And I'm gonna find a way to get this on the computer screen so everybody can see it. But it's really well done. Did you do this or what?
That was given to us at a real early AMSOIL convention as a poster. And then when they went to the 30th year anniversary, I remembered that poster. And so I brought it back up, and that's when they did the skit of it at the 30th convention.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I got it. Okay, yeah, yeah. And the Road to Success seems like it has a lot of pitfalls on it. If you can imagine, I guess the closest thing would be what, Chutes and Ladders, maybe, type of a thing, if anybody remembers that childhood game where you go up the chutes and ladders and you fall off, and pitfalls and bad habits, it says here, and people that have all the answers, they're over here always right club, they're kind of stuck, and some people fall down into the river of failure. I think that's kind of hilarious. And
oh, yeah.
Lack of preparation, the guys have to climb up over the mountain on that one because they don't get to go through the tunnel.
Right. if they had done it right, they could have just got on the train.
That's right. If you do it right, just get on the train and ride it up to the top, you know, the AMSOIL Success. And I remember you pull it, doing that skit at the 30th convention. It was just awesome. And I've got copies of it. I just got to figure out a way. It won't fit on my scanner to get into the computer. I might have to find something with a bigger scanner. But
that whole poster just describes the journey of life. And I don't care if you're in AMSOIL or you're doing anything else. All those pitfalls are, you know, good news travels real slow, but boy, you do something wrong, bad news travels real fast, and it's never forgotten. You can ruin a good reputation in 5 seconds, and then it'll take you a lifetime to build it. Well, that's the story of that journey. So you have to be careful. You there's no such thing as a shortcut.
Yeah, there's not. It takes you know, knowledge and work and perseverance and motivation, and of course you need help along the way, and that's the beauty of the AMSOIL business, that you don't that you have help to help you do it. A lot of these punk companies, Mr. Amatuzio probably didn't have as much help as a brand new dealer starting out today with a sponsor and a DJ and of course all the regional sales managers and all that stuff. Mr. Amatuzio had to lead the way himself.
So, him and Shirley Green, right?
That's right.
Al knew a lot about the oil and the chemistry, but he didn't know diddly squat about marketing, and that's what Shirley helped him with.
Yep. So, well, before we end up here tonight, obviously we know that attending training, AMSOIL training, is an important thing. Want to expound a little bit on that real quick?
A long, long time ago, the only training that we had was the beginning $12.50 manual. And a lot of meetings and slideshows, and through the training through the ages, has been teach the marketing. What they called it, show the plan, STP. Show the plan, stop the procrastination, start the progress. And so it was STP, STP, STP. And Wally Bug had a lot to do with helping us get the G700. He wrote that business manual. And that was like, wow. AMSOIL started listening to the dealers. They wanted a 1-800 phone number, they wanted an internet site, and the catalog came out, and then step by step, they started. I think what happened is Al finally relinquished some of the reins to the next generation, and their ideas were so solid, and he started taking ideas from the dealers, tools that we needed, and implementing them for the rest of the organization, and it went really fast after that.
Wow. So the training we have now is there's no comparison compared to what it used to be. It's 1,000 times better, huh?
Easily. I mean, look how much faster the company's getting direct jobbers out of it, how many they're getting.
Yeah,
I'm, and you know, when you go to Ansel University, I've had so many dealers go up there and say, well, I didn't expect all this. Now, I know it's a crash course for a week, and they jam-pack you, man. I mean, it's like going through a military commando week training course, but it's for oils and lubrication and marketing.
Yeah.
There ain't much dead time.
Yeah, you better have your vitamins before you come up, right?
That's right. That's another thing. You know, people joke on me about the vitamins. Well, I take them vitamins. They're a good portion of my business every month, and I love them. I believe I don't go to the doctor very often because of them. And then he's got the fertilizer, and the fertilizer is going to be bigger than Ansel. I hate to say that because it's taken Ansel 40 years to get this product off the ground and going. But about 8 years ago, Al told me, he said, Ray, pay attention to the fertilizer. One day it's going to surpass Ansel. I didn't really understand what he was saying, but the people that produce the stuff out of the dirt, they buy a lot of chemicals. They can buy a whole lot more Agran than they can Ansel. And
yep.
That's just beginning. He said the fertilizer company is where the oil company was 20 years ago. It's just ahead of its time. Look what happened when Ansel finally caught up. And like you said, we're just barely starting to scratch the surface of what the oil business can do.
Hey, there's people that can become DJs just off one customer in the fertilizer business. I'm telling you, it's just that good.
Thank you very much.
Oh, geez.
I know. You got a tiger by the tail, and the first thing you got to do is learn how to grab hold of the tail and then hold on to it.
Yep.
And most people just say, well, I don't know how to do this. It's too hard. It's too this. It's too that. Quit your whining and start trying. I know. I exchanged a lot of ideas with Bill and Barbara Stencil. I knew marketing and Bill knew cars. And because of that, I learned cars and he learned marketing. And then one day, he says, we'd like to run our own meeting now. So you need to go someplace else. So I had to quit running Bill's meeting because he'd become a direct jobber and he didn't need my help no more. It was like a compliment. So I went and found somebody else to build into a direct jobbership. And Bill and I are still great friends to this day, him and Barbara.
Excellent. Well, that about covers it all, Ray, for our 30 minutes anyhow. Time flies, like you say, when we're having fun, and you did a great job, really. One last thing, is there anything you want to leave for dealers to listen in and that are listening? Just one last thing that you think they all should be doing and that they're not.
Hey, in your subconscious mind, focus on what it is you want. Ask the man upstairs for some help and go get it. They told me to get down on my knees and pretend like it all depended on God, and then get up off of my knees and go work like it all depended on me. And between the two of us, we're going to get your dream. And I'm telling you, I am living a dream. I don't know what the next world's all about. I'm in no hurry to get there because I feel like I'm living in paradise and nobody can take it away from me.
Well, we appreciate everything that you've done to help build the Ansel business, Ray, and I think all the callers listening tonight, if they haven't met you, when you walk in the room at the next Ansel University, I hope they all come up and shake your hand because I always like to. And it's always fun visiting, and your stories are awesome, and you're just a hoot to be around. So I do appreciate you do getting on the call and appreciate you helping all the dealers out that you've helped over the years. And of course, just keep living the dream, you know.
Life is what you make it. So, therefore, if the paintbrush is in your hand, paint it the way you see it.
There you go. Well, with that, everybody, good night. I've got the call off mute, so I hope everybody has a great holiday coming up. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And everybody calling in tonight, give Ray a big round of applause. And thanks, Ray.
You bet.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you, Gerard.
You're welcome. Hope it helped.
Yeah.
Mike, another awesome call.
Thank you, Andre. Thank you.